Cut by J. Marcelo Borromeo. Editor's comment A. Hey mods, this article looks like it's all over the place. Kindly take note, I'm suggesting to put up a warning banner for users while this page is in overhaul. We'll mark areas for your attention when necessary. Cut is a 2025 Filipino supernatural horror film directed by Angelo T. Baldonado and written by Regina Ronyo. Starring Laureen Kunwari, Jethro De La Fuente, and Parker Bowles, the movie focuses on a news producer who discovers that her crew has been cursed after they falsify a report on an indigenous community's ceremonial burial rites. Though it was released to lukewarm reviews, the film has since gained the notoriety of cult status following a series of teen deaths connected to the film. Editor's comment B. Investigations have proved that the film had no direct cause in the incident, suggesting to contextualize the sentence as part of urban legend for clarity. Plot. Christine Sandike, played by Laureen Kunwari, is a junior news producer for Ang Bansa Ngayon, a national news program in the vein of 60 Minutes. Assigned to find stories for the program's popular annual Halloween-themed episode, Christine follows a lead to the town of Lumangbayan, where the indigenous community is said to practice a unique burial ceremony for the town's dead every 3 years. Christine is frustrated when the townspeople either fail to cooperate or unwittingly sabotage their efforts at recording the ritual. The night before their segment is due, Christine reluctantly agrees to her cameraman Cheetos, played by Jethro De La Fuente, suggestion that they should stage their own recreation of the ceremony. The crew spend the night shooting a staged version of the ceremony on the outskirts of Lumangbayan, hiring local extras from a nearby town to fill the scene. When they return to the studio the next day, Cheeto submits the footage on Christine's behalf, implying to the editor that the footage is real. The remainder of the film sees each of the news crew members dying in sequence of rank. Their deaths are attributed to accidental causes, many of them related to on-set and in-studio mishaps. On Halloween morning, Cheeto and Christine return to Lumangbayan to investigate the pattern. They learn that the townspeople had deliberately sabotaged their shoot because they believe that any attempt to record the ritual goes against their people's covenant with the local forest gods. Because the news crew had filmed a segment on sacred land, the curse extends itself to anyone who watches their report. The final act of the film is presented in found footage format. Cheeto and Christine rush back to the news studio to stop the report from being broadcast. By then, spirits have taken over the studio, obstructing Cheeto and Christine at every turn. Cheeto is crushed to death by a camera crane. He drops the phone he has been using to record their attempt to stop the broadcast. The film ends before revealing whether or not Christine reached the control booth in time. Editor's comment C. But the end is not the end. The end never was, is, and never will be the end. Editor's comment D. Hi, moderator Jack Panther. Flagging a misuse of editor notation features. User mysteries. This isn't actually the right way to proceed here. Editor's comment E. Thanks for the heads up, user 5 Carface. I'm trying to pull up user mysteries account, but keep getting locked out of the directory. I think this guy might be using some kind of access filter to bypass our security controls. Let me see what I can do about that. We'll look into your edit suggestions in a sec. Development. The film marked the reunion of T. Baldonado, film producer Philip Nunez, and Ronyo, their first collaboration since the 2019 film Cumbento. T. Baldonado and Ronyo had met at a writing class when they were students at Aguinaldo University. They quickly formed a writing partnership, which they would sustain for the next 8 years. Nunez, whose family had developed the coconut husk polypropylene formula predominantly used in rice sack production, was an entrepreneurial management student whom T. Baldonado roped in to produce his and Ronyo's first film out of college. The popular success of their 2016 debut, Multo, which premiered at that year's edition of the Cinema One Originals Film Festival, inspired a short-lived movement of the same name in Asian horror cinema. The group attempted to replicate the success of Multo with their next three films, but none had broken through or exceeded the cultural impact of their first film. Editor's comment F. Flagging this paragraph for relevance, the context seems more appropriate for the individual articles of the subjects under discussion, hoping to get mod approval to transfer this text to the applicable pages. It is believed that Ronyo stepped away from the group after T. Baldonado publicly announced his relationship with actress Candy Montes at the premiere of Convento. T. Baldonado and Nunez were similarly believed to have fallen out over rumors that the director had leaked an online screener of the 2020 film Multo, The First Haunting. However, in 2023, Nunez's production company, ATBP Studios, announced that it was developing a new project with the director. Nunez optioned Ronyo's script on T. Baldonado's insistence. Consequently, Cut was the only film where Ronyo received a sole writing credit that she did not share with her former writing partner. In an interview with Esquire Philippines, Ronyo stated that T. Baldonado's goodwill had convinced her to join the project. "It would be disingenuous for me to claim that I didn't miss it. At least that's what I felt when Angelo visited me himself to ask if I wanted to work with him and Nunez again." Ronyo added that she would write the film on the condition that T. Baldonado and Nunez would produce whatever script she turned in next. Although they agreed, the condition was never fulfilled. Editor's comment H. "This information does not appear in the listed source. User Mysteries, I see that you were the user who input the selection. Could I trouble you to supply the right citation? We'll have no choice but to undo this edit otherwise." Filming. According to Ronyo, the film was loosely inspired by stories of her grandmother's childhood during the Second World War. Editor's comment I. "This paragraph is more relevant to the previous section header on development than filming, suggesting to push up. Mod, please approve." While hiding in the mountains during the Japanese invasion of Cebu, Ronyo's grandmother claimed to have spoken to forest spirits who allegedly protected her when her hometown was bombed in 1945. Ronyo also cited her fascination with news as entertainment as another source of inspiration. In the intervening years since the release of Convento, Ronyo had worked in broadcast journalism, though she was quick to deny that any of the news programs she worked on had ever deceived its audience by passing stage shots as real footage. When asked if the indigenous community in the film was inspired by a particular Lumad community, Ronyo stated that its lack of direct influence was meant to play into the film's themes of artificiality. Editor's comment J. "Source completely missing here. Took the liberty of searching it myself and found it in another interview with the Daily Inquirer. Incidentally, turned out to be the source I was looking for a few paragraphs up, now suggesting the reference revision for approval." Production was rushed to meet the deadline for a number of international film festivals. This resulted in several on-set injuries and equipment damages. While shooting the film's final scene, a large camera rig crashed into the wall of the set, nearly killing actor Jethro De La Fuente. Although this differed from the exit of De La Fuente's character in the script, T. Baldonado and Nunez chose to change the ending, improvising around the crash to rewrite De La Fuente's character death. Following numerous arguments between T. Baldonado, Nunez, and Ronyo, the film, which ultimately failed to secure a premiere abroad, became their final collaboration. Soon after Cut's domestic premiere, Ronyo announced her retirement from film, pivoting to a career in television writing and publishing. Nunez indicated that he and T. Baldonado were exploring other avenues for future collaboration, though neither of them would work as production partners again. On the other hand, actress Laureen Kunwari, who had also been a frequent collaborator of T. Baldonado and Ronyo's from their college days, would continue to work with the director on several other projects. Reaction. The film was met with negative reviews upon its premiere. A number of critics panned Cut's formulaic plot, the unresolved ending, and the excessive use of handheld camera for the film's final set piece. Joanna Abante of Inquirer.net called the film a dizzying exercise that left me asking what the point of it all was. In his review for Esquire, Z.T. Rosales questioned why the film didn't lean further into the Philippines' rich folklore to ask deeper questions about national identity. Soon after the film's wide release, Aguinaldo University lecturer and film critic Jethro Antonio defended Cut on his personal blog. He suggested that the film was a thoughtful metacritique on filmmaking itself, and that T. Baldonado and company erased the line between factual truth and emotional truth by passing off lie as a reality. Doesn't that sound like the thing we always say about the value of fiction? Antonio took to social media to lead a grassroots campaign in support of Cut. Editor's comment K. Evidence to support this claim? I'm not sure a few tweets are enough to constitute a grassroots campaign. Your move, user mysteries. The popular response was similarly baffled, however, with many viewers commenting that the Multo era is officially over. Editor's comment L. Said who? Bold of us to assume this one poll stands for a popular reaction. Purported curse. On June 26, 2028, a police unit responded to an emergency call at the residence of Anya Wexler in the town of Uraltorf, Germany. Wexler's nephew, Daniel, was reported missing by his aunt, along with three other teens who had been watching Cut with him in the garage. The only remaining witness to the incident was Daniel's friend, Lars Diehl, who claimed that the group had reacted violently during the screening. According to Diehl, the reaction began when an unspecified member of the group claimed to have seen themselves in one of the film's final shots. The group replayed the scene, only for another member of the group to claim that they had seen themselves in the film. The group repeated this pattern until all but Diehl could identify moments where they had appeared in the movie. They fled the garage one by one, escaping into the nearby woods. Diehl was spared because he kept his eyes shut throughout the movie. Editor's comment M. That was never publicly disclosed. 2 days later, a community search recovered three of the four bodies that went missing that day. The fourth body, belonging to Daniel Wexler, has not been recovered to this day. Authorities speculated that he was still alive, making him the prime suspect of the investigation. In 2029, the case was closed due to lack of evidence. Diehl left the country soon afterwards to protect his identity. Editor's comment N. Wait, who the hell is this? How do you know that? Sometimes at night, he hears the television turning on by itself in the other room. He does not go to turn it off because he doesn't want to see what he knows is showing. Instead, he waits until morning. Editor's comment O. Dan? The story of Wexler and his friend's disappearance came to prominence when it was reported on the British online magazine Sebald in April 2030. According to culture writer Ben Keane, the Wexler incident was the most severe manifestation of a reported curse associated with the film Cut. Keane cited similar incidents in Japan, Brazil, South Africa, and Indonesia, where viewers claimed to have seen themselves at various moments in the film. Though a German court later ruled that drug use was the probable cause of the events surrounding the Wexler incident, the publication of Keane's report sparked a short-lived viral trend that saw online users attempt to locate themselves within the film. Editor's comment P. User 5 Carface, I'm still having trouble accessing Mr. E's account in the mod hub. I've raised the issue for higher action. This problem is out of my hands. Sorry. Hope admin can work something out. Nunez publicly discouraged the trend, suggesting that Keane's report was a depressing attempt to mythologize tragedy for clicks. T. Baldonado echoed his former partner's sentiment, though one of the segments of his 2033 anthology film, Tales of the Dead, would loosely dramatize the events of the Wexler incident. Though Ronyo never issued a statement on the film's purported curse, Konwari indicated that the screenwriter was deeply disturbed by the idea, which prompted her to investigate the story on her own. Investigation. In 2037, Ronyo was invited to deliver a guest lecture on emerging trends in teleserie writing at her alma mater. At the end of the lecture, Ronyo was approached by a student she immediately recognized as T. Baldonado's daughter. The student, whose last name was different from that of her former writing partner, explained that she was a fan of Ronyo's nonfiction work. When Ronyo learned that the student was cutting her management principles class to attend the lecture, she subsequently invited her to the workshop she was delivering that afternoon. The student attended the workshop, then joined Ronyo for coffee afterwards. The whole time, Ronyo believed that the student would bring her old friend up, ask a question like, "So, you knew my dad?" After which Reggie would have to tell her everything she knew about him. He loved movies. He loved looking out into other worlds. The last time they spoke was 2 years ago. By then it was hard to tell what he thought it was movies and what was real-world history. Angela had asked her if he had made anything worth leaving behind for her. Reggie assumed he meant Carla, but when she said her name, Angela was confused. He was talking about someone else. He wouldn't say who. Maybe it was one of the characters he'd always fixated on. One of the cowgirls from the revisionist Pensitwensterns he kept making in his later days. Reggie asked him if he was afraid. Angelo said nothing, moved from window to window like he was browsing the trailer displays at Mega Mall again. The student explained that she wanted advice. Of course she did. She didn't know a single thing about her father. A week later, when Ronyo met the student's mother, she would learn that the student was not the product of any of Angelo's public relationships. The mother had never been an actress or a filmmaker. They had met once through friends. No great history. When she heard this, Reggie could not help but perceive the unfathomable gulf that separated her and the mother. Somewhere above this gulf floated Angelo, and she wondered if she could make him out again by crossing the gulf, welcoming these new people into her life. Over coffee, the student asked how she might convince her mother to let her pursue a career in the arts. She entered management because she didn't know what she wanted to do, but that was before she went to college and realized she could do something she really liked for a living. She liked Rania's work. She couldn't write for shit. She could play music, though, which was as precarious as an arts career could get. The student asked how Ronya convinced her parents to let her become a writer. What did you say to them to let them know it was the only thing you could do? Her mom was supportive, but she couldn't help feeling like she needed to live up to something, which is why she was in management. Ronya looked over the student's shoulder then, not because something had caught her attention, but because she felt an unbearable desire to look away, to shield her eyes from what was going to happen. It suddenly became clear what her grandmother meant all those years ago when she said life is short, but time is very, very long. Nothing will terrify you more than seeing your whole life about to happen to someone else. You want to tell her what you know will happen. You let your mind follow everything that happened from start to end, but only then do you know it's over. The day someone you love dies without knowing what happens next is the day you understand that all you're meant to know is past, a story, a dream. There isn't any necessary truth that isn't in your bones. There isn't anything real that isn't the ghost in front of you. Editor's comment cue. And still, the end is not the end. Things went on. The world danced around the sun. Legacy. Despite attempts to dispel the rumors of the curse, Cut remains a cult phenomenon. Editor's comment R. Hey, did anyone resolve user 5 Carface's edit suggestions? I still see them on page review. Seems like it's been an overhaul for years now. Editor's comment S. Who cares, dude? The film was the subject of interest of the first conference on T. Baldonado's extensive body of work, which was held in honor of his passing in 2035. Nunez, Ronyo, and Kunwari participated in a conference panel as guests of honor. The Multok Conference was held every 3 years until 2057. An offshoot of conference organizers called The Searchers was created in the aftermath of the conference to foster community activity and to maintain the cultural importance of the Multok movement and its progenitors. Following the dissolution of the Republic of the Philippines in 2061, Cut was included as number 86 in Cinemag's commemorative Top 100 Filipino Movies of All Time article. Censorship. In 2066, the film was included in a list of banned materials published by the Territorial Transition Authority of the Philippines. In its release, the Transition Authority explained that the title was included to prevent viewers from undermining our mandate as the sole governing force of the Philippine people. Though the film does not contain outwardly subversive elements, the Transition Authority took offense with the film's focus on the concepts of ancestral land and geopoliticized identity. The film remains in circulation on non-legal platforms maintained by the Searchers. In 2071, the Searchers were declared fugitives by the Transition Authority under Ordinance 28, which outlaws the private occupancy of territories legally recognized as the Philippine Islands during their lease to the Global Restoration Project. Rumors indicate that the Searchers operate an underground screening room somewhere on the former Philippine territories, which they use to livestream file copies of Cut, along with other titles from ATBP's studio's catalog of work. Editor's comment T. The world may be lost, but we who still live survive the world by remembering it. Come, The world is not lost. We are still here. The end is not the end.